Steal This Beer, a candid weekly discussion about beer, over beer, by a couple of guys that think about beer way too much.
All right, hey y'all, it's 5 o'clock on Monday and we're stealing beer. I am Augie Carton. I am joined this fine 5 o'clock on Monday, which is really 11:15 on Saturday.
Hunapu has started.
Hunapu has started. We are doing one more because we got Anbui. Did I say that right? How do you say
your
last name?
Yes, Bui? Anbui.
Anbui. So yes. Like Anbui, but totally different.
You got it. Right on.
So, all right. Of Mekong Restaurant and the Answer Brew Pub in Richmond. Justin, Justin's still his birthday. Still doing
still
the
my
dulcet
birthday.
Thing. Still running things.
Goes a week
Paul
long.
Is still home on baby watch, not able to get stout wasted with us down
That's
here
right.
in Tampa.
Cass is in Seattle.
Cass is in Seattle doing some wedding thing. So it's just us, and we're just having a good time. So starts with a family restaurant.
Yes.
And turns into a brew pub. How long ago, how did that happen?
Mekong started in 1995.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's an idea that my parent had seen all the kids work everywhere, and he wanted us to work together.
Okay. Okay.
And that's when the idea of a restaurant opened up. So
okay, and the restaurant is like
yes,
go on. So it's now geez, it's how long ago was 95?
20
years ago? 22
yeah.
years old? All right. So
21 years, yeah.
So those first five are scary for a restaurant. Now you're comfortable?
I'll be honest, it's running a restaurant is tough. So the first 5 years we were on the edge of closing, you know. 3-4 times, so.
Okay.
But luckily, persistent hard work pay out. So.
Right. And the cuisine is.
Yes, it's Vietnamese.
Right on.
And in the beginning, the first 2 years, we tried to pair up with wine, but it didn't work out. So because it seemed that every restaurant have serve food and wine. So and then the wine that go well with Vietnamese cuisine doesn't quite. Popular?
Yeah, Rieslings. You want to do Rieslings and Grüners and stuff with acidity and sweetness, and that's not what they're drinking in Napa, let alone in Richmond, Virginia.
Yeah, so, you know, people, you know, drink Chardonnay and Merlot and Cab, so it doesn't quite fit.
And that's going to suck the life out of Vietnamese cuisine.
Yeah.
I got you. So then the brew pub.
Yep, brew pub opened about 2.5 years ago. So.
Okay. And all right, so... My favorite Vietnamese cuisine thing is, what's his name? Tony Bourdain. He's a food writer. And he writes.
Anthony Bourdain?
Yeah.
Yeah, Tony.
Yeah.
Anthony Bourdain,
yeah.
Pho?
Yeah, but so Tony writes a book about what it's like to cook in a restaurant. It goes really well. His publishers want him to write another book.
Okay.
And he can't think of what to do. And he basically says, why don't I just go around the world eating everybody's food? It's called Cook's Tour. It's one of the greatest books I've ever read. I really love it. I suggest everybody read it because it starts off with this terrible conceit that he gets to, you know, go to the hometown of one of his chefs in Mexico and eat his mother's food. And he goes and eats, you know, some cow that was cooked under sand in northern Africa. And you know what I mean? And it becomes, but it becomes all his shows and all his weirdness. But this is him traveling the world looking for the best meal.
Gotcha.
And there's no doubt in my mind, and I haven't gotten Tony on the show yet, but there's no doubt in my mind, his favorite happens in Vietnam. Of all the cuisines he eats on that thing, the one where his words, because he doesn't say it, but his words, how excited he is by this meal, is Vietnamese food for its tension between hot and sweet and sour and all that and all that. And but because I learned those ideas from Tony, I put a Budweiser next to it. You know what I mean? Because that's what he would drink with that. And I guess my question is, what are you brewing? What are you doing to do that? Are you trying to do similar things in beer? Are you trying to keep them simple so the food can do the foods thing? You know what I mean? How what's that play for you? Putting beer next to that cuisine. Because like I said, in my head, it's the most exciting cuisine in the world and deserves a Budweiser because fucking Tony Bourdain. Anyway, go on.
Well, with the brew pub, we are not quite, you know, trying to pair the beer with the food. So
okay.
we're just focused on brewing some fresh beer.
Okay.
You know, my idea was having the restaurant next door is that we've been serving beer for so long, and I'm just missing the freshness of a beer to come in. I was just trying to think, okay, what happened? I'm tasting like a fresh IPA off the tank.
Right.
So that's the idea of the brewpub coming in mind, that we want something fresh. So, yeah. And then we want to do more with flavors, rather than just focus on beer, rather than, you know, like beer and food. We do that for next door. So now we just focus on the beer next door. Just focus on flavor, the freshness, and trying to understand the clientele that come to us, and we just work from there on.
So how much beer are you making in the pub? And is it only available in the pub? Do you send it out places?
Just on-site. We have crowlers that we do for people to take out. Just like food, you know, they come in, they order a crowler, they take home. So our focus is trying to stay unique and small most in-house.
Okay.
We have a 5-barrel system.
Oh, perfect.
And seven fermenting tanks. So we just brew whatever we
and
have.
And you serve right off those tanks?
Yes. And then we have four serving tank that we serve, and we just rotate those tanks.
That's fantastic. And then, so on a normal day, it's a pale ale, an IPA. What kind of mix would you say? Not a rule, but what's a normal day?
We have 4-7 tank and mostly filled with IPA right now.
Okay. Yeah, because that's what people are drinking. Yeah,
that's what we need is like the fresh stuff.
Yeah.
We also have guest beer. So we have about 50 guest beer.
Okay.
So yeah, you know, anything that we don't brew, we carry in.
Okay.
Yeah. So like I say, with the IPA, we want it fresh. So that's why we want to brew and the fresh stuff and serve off and sell off people when they come in order to go. So.
Oh wow! All right. So allow me to do the digression that happens about 5 minutes in. So, Steal This Beer is a conversation about beer and what it is. And not what it should be or we wish it was. We basically get together with restaurant guys, brewers, writers, and we just record those conversations that happen, and we're just trying to appreciate beer for what it is. The facilitation of that is a drinking blind out of a black glass. Okay. Typically, it would be John Hall and I, but right now I think it's just me because you brought it and he poured it, so both of you know what you're drinking.
Right.
I have no idea, and I'm going to have to sip on it for a minute because it's already done like 8 different things quickly. Like there was a chocolate thing that wasn't there. There was a lager thing that then wasn't there. So I'm going to need a minute to think about it. But when I just said a wow into the mic, that was my first taste of this beer. I feel like I should give that to people. But anyway, let's get back to it.
Oh, double wow.
Double wow. Mm. So you guys are doing pretty much all IPAs and stouts now?
Yeah, so we have 4 serving tank, and we rotate the IPA. And, you know, hops, lots of different hops, so we just change the base beer the same, but we just change a lot of hop.
All right, so kind of like a smash, but it's this plus this hop, and do you just call them by the hop that's in them? Like if I walked in, would you be like, here's it with Euconaut, here's it with Citra, here's it with Amarillo?
No, we just have different names.
So. Okay.
Yeah,
you guys have some great names.
What are some of the names?
Cash Me Outside, I think is one of them.
Come on. You did Cash Me Outside?
Well, of course, C-Mac.
Dude, it's the world's greatest meme this week.
C-Mac, Dr. Phil famous and over famous, so maybe C-Mac gets famous.
Is she from down by you?
No.
Oh.
I have no idea where she is.
She's definitely somewhere southern. Like, she's definitely somewhere in the south, right? Cash Me Outside.
Hard in the paint, no layups. These are other beer names.
Yeah. No layups?
No layups.
That was the other half collaboration,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Oh, of course it was. Those fuckers. That's funny. Yeah, that makes sense. No layups is definitely their kind of name. I should have read that. Hard in the paint is also good. That's like
Mouth Hug is another one.
Mouth Hug, yes.
Oh, that's cute. What was Mouth Hugs? Was it a heavily oated Citra IPA?
Yeah, we're trying to have fun at the brew pub, so. Mm-hmm. It's kind of funny for people come in, especially for a guy try to order a mouth hug. Put a ladies' bartender behind the bar.
That's good. That's even better. Can I have a mouth hug? Well, yeah, we had the who are the Connecticut Farm? What's the name of their brewery?
Oh, Kent Falls.
Kent Falls, and they've been naming beers things like napkins.
Okay.
So guys, like, can I have some napkins? you shouldn't be doing beer if you're not into having fun. And a mouth hug would be funny. I'm gonna ask for a bunch of mouth hugs.
I think
tonight.
One of your former brewers brews at Kent Falls now. Is that right?
Zach?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, nice. Yeah, okay. Right? Yes.
So there's
a
connection.
Yes, he is. Yeah.
All right. I'm having trouble with this beer.
What's troubling you?
I think it's a lot more plain than I thought it was when I first tasted it.
Hmm.
Either that or my palate adjusted to it like that, right? When I first tasted it, I had like 30 things going on. And now, you know what I mean? It's just tastes very kind of, like I said, when I first went to it, I was like, too much going on, you need to think. And now I'm not getting anything out of it. So that's a confusing thing for me. Hold on. Keep talking. Ask more questions. I'll be back.
It's so got a funkiness to it.
is it true that you guys don't have any overlap between the Mekong draft list and the Answer draft list, which are both like 50 deep or something?
Yeah, so on Mekong, we have about 56. And next door, we have about 60.
And none are the same.
Yeah, well, you know, once in a while, you know, we got a duplicate, you know, because, you know, sometimes both sides, we don't plan the, you're not on the same page. But yes, together we have over 100 draft line on both places, yeah, and it's right side by side, so next door, so
yeah.
All right, I'm gonna move on because I don't want this to hang me up.
Yeah, we gotta.
No, but I mean, I just don't want to get hung up on it because I think I could sit here all day thinking about it. I'm gonna go with it's a nice solid beer. I'm wondering if it's old. It doesn't taste old, but I'm wondering if what would have stuck out is homogenized into itself.
You are good. Yes, it is an ace beer.
Okay, yes. So that's what's got me confused. Mm. But it right now it's just drinking really nice. Like mm-hmm. I'm okay with it.
I think
I think that's why I want this. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think it could be as simple as a Saison-y kind of Belgian that's just got some time on it. And I think what I want. So the other thing we do is we write a sentence for if the thieves have this beer, where would we drink it? Like not.
Gotcha.
You know, and for me, I think I want this to be a 750. I think I want to open it cold, put it on the table, and just see what happens to it over an hour. Like, this is just, suppose I'm cooking or something, like doing a task. I wouldn't ice it. I would let it warm all the way through.
Yeah.
And I just want to see where it goes. But, yeah, for me, this could be something as simple as a Belgian blonde with some time on it. And well put together because...
Very well put together
because where it is now is a very cool place. Oh, it's Orval. Fucking Orval.
Perfect. I wish John Hall were here, but he's not.
I really wish John Hall was here. Do you know when it was made?
There should be a date on it somewhere.
But yeah, so exactly. That's what Orval should be. And it's like I said, Orval is my favorite go-to food beer. That's great. For a restaurant guy to bring that makes sense. And this is the kind of beer I think is like this is going to sound so pejorative of Orval, but I mean it as praise. Orval is everything a Budweiser could be. Mm-hmm. And I imagine this with Vietnamese food would be fantastic, right? Because it's not going to get in the way. It is going to complement. That little bit of hops is going to pop it up a bit. And like I said, that's what Orval is supposed to do, right? When I first smelled it was 50 things, and then it was just a beer I was happy to sit and drink. Good job, Orval. You guys are fucking amazing.
I think this is our seventh or eighth time having this beer on the show.
By
far the most.
I don't think it's really seven or eight, but I think real beer people respect it. But go on. Why'd you bring it?
Well, you know, the Belgian beer are what put Mekong on a beer map. So that's when we was first started in '98. That's when we start carrying a lot of Belgian beer, so because they pair well with Vietnamese cuisine.
Okay.
And this beer is one of the beers that very dear and close to my heart. So.
Yeah. Well, thanks, man, and I appreciate the hell out of it, and I think it's like I said. So flying here, no kidding, I had an Orval last night.
Okay.
Like I was so Newark Airport has done a kind of reinvention of itself, and they've put real chefs with real restaurants and a real beer list and all that. And it's gotten to the point where I now trust it. Like, it used to be if you were stuck in the airport for an hour, you were just dead, right? You were going to have a hot dog off a roller, and you might buy a stadium beer. But so now it's just I go to wherever my gate is, turn around, see what restaurant's there, and grab a quick bite and a beer. And this time it was a seafood sushi place, and of all the beers there, I was like, the Orval will just be perfect for whatever sushi I get kind of thing. And I literally had one last night. Yeah. And what's funny is it was more malty than this one. Like, that's the thing about Orval that I love, because time does so much to a bottle fermented beer, and it was maltier than this one we're drinking now. And wonderful for that. Anyway, thank you. So let's go back to Mekong, because we're talking about we were talking about. So it was a Vietnamese restaurant with a grape beer list.
Yes.
After not being a wine place, and then turns into the answer. How do you train your servers? How do you, your waiters and waitresses, like, how do you get them to be knowledgeable enough to handle a 50 beer list in a Vietnamese place in Richmond? Like, I feel like that's three levels of difficulty for a server. How do you, what kind of prep do you give them to do their job?
Well, number one is that, you know, we don't have much turnover.
Okay.
So
people stay around.
Yeah, people stay around. And what have we, you know, they learn in the beginning, and whatever we bring in, new beer, so they just learn the right way. So
Belgian candy sugar? Did you bring two Belgians? Or
yes!
Am I just doing that to myself?
Yes, you are right. Correct.
It is Belgium, I'll say that.
I was like, I was like, Jesus, has my brain just given up on me? But this one's the other side, right? This is more candy sugar,
yes,
less clean.
Yes.
This is, yeah. All right,
literally
but
chewing on.
Yeah, give me a minute with it, but yeah, yeah, exactly. This is special B. This is candy sugar. Yeah, yeah. Okay, go on. Sorry, keep talking. Servers
okay.
And turnover.
Yeah, it's just low turnover, and everybody's a veteran. A veteran. So everyone know what they're doing, and if we have new beer, they just, you know, learn up one beer and move on forward. Yeah,
okay,
so,
right on.
Yeah.
That's cool. And how's the community down there? Are you one of a lot of beer-centered places, or are you still unique in the environment for a deep beer list?
Well, I have to say, you know, 15, 20 years ago, I mean, there's no beer community.
Right.
So with Mekong, we have to build one clientele at a time. Just build a fan base, you know, build a foundation one brick at a time. And eventually, right now in Richmond, it's literally a beer town.
Okay.
We have one brewery when we first opened, and now we have 20 plus.
Okay, great. Do you get to serve a lot of their beers too? When you said you have guest beers and stuff like that, do you pull from those guys? Could you now lean heavily on Richmond and not have to go all the way to Belgium for beer?
No, we still have the Belgium that's close to our heart. So lots of Belgium. We care local, but it had to be good up to the standard to be on tap. So it doesn't, you know, I mean, it can't be local and serve on our tap. It has to be good.
Yeah, of course. So. Well, I would hope so. I wish more people had that rule. All right, so let's talk about beer too, because you and I are all late for our fest. But so this is one of those things that it's in a world where everybody's popping things and making things stick out and you know, going all hops or all whatever. This is one of those, oh, right, so much can be fucking done, right? Because there's the banana phenolic of Belgian yeast annoys me more often than not. But when it's done properly and put into a beer with that kind of raisiny we were just talking about, you know, the special B kind of dates and figs flavors, and the banana runs in there and makes that a better thing rather than sticks out. This is going to be another Trappist. This is going to be another, like, you know what I mean? It's somebody's, this is one of the Belgian beers, and it's perfect for it. Like, I like drinking it. It's not doing any one thing. It's got a baked quality to it. You know what I mean? And it's just pretty. And this is definitely another food beer. It's more a stew beer.
Yes.
You know what
I
mean? It's more a, but at a table, again, if we had a 750, I'd like to pull the cork, put it on the table, feed people things that simmered, and just let it be what it's going to be.
Yeah.
Is that fine, Justin?
That's,
did I say anything
that's
wrong?
Great. No, that's great.
Yeah, I mean this is the one that we serve at a restaurant with clay pot style, you know, with the reduction sauce into either pork or fish. So
you and I got to eat together. We clearly agree. We clearly agree on stuff. All right, what is it? Is it Budweiser?
It's another Trappist beer.
It's
Rochefort 10.
It's Rochefort 10. Nice, nice. Rochefort 10 is a double?
It's a quad.
Yeah. Right. So I've got to be careful with this because I'm liking drinking it, and we're about to go drink a whole bunch of big crazy ass Tampa stouts.
Jesus Christ. And it's 90 degrees outside.
No, it isn't 90.
I think
it is.
Yeah, it's got.
Did you bring sunscreen, my little redheaded friend? am I going to worry about you? Are you going to kill yourself?
I brought it, but I don't think it's with me. So we're going to have to. Worry
I have
about
some.
That.
I have some.
Okay.
So that's awesome. So if you have 50 beers at Mekong. How many of them are Belgian at this point?
At this point,
because right now I feel
10,
like that's the
10.
Right thing for you to do. Is it about that?
About 10.
Man, I like it. Dude, now that there's a beer culture, and now that, you know, people Fache Libro their beer experience every time, Are people missing that these beers are there and they this is what they should be having with their food? Are they coming in for crazy stuff? Because right now I'm all fired up to have this with that duck in a hot pot, like you said. And I'm wondering if people are missing that experience looking for the next big Citra bomb.
Well, you know, for Rochefort, they don't have draft, so this is all bottles. So. Yep. But they can come in and order bottle if they want to order a clay pot chicken or clay pot fish, stuff like that. Yeah. So. But we do have other similar beer that on draft that kind of quad-ish area. So.
Yeah, the sweetness in here, I imagine, goes great with some good spice. Yes. Like, it's so cool. That's awesome.
So, even before the answer opened, you were doing collaborations with people like Cigar City.
Yes.
How do you do that and not be a brewery?
Well, just, you know, through a connection. So I just see Justin just walking by here. We were just talking. So
Justin from Cigar City.
Yes, yeah. And we've been hanging out for so long. So, and, you know, one day we're just talking and strike up a conversation and say, yeah, let's do a collab. Yeah. Let's do something fun. So.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I imagine it's easier to collaborate when you don't have
if you don't have a
brewery. Because when people approach me to collaborate and when I want to approach people to collaborate, it's weird to do it if you don't have a tank, right? There's 200 brewers I'd love to make a beer with. Mm. And because I'm me, I don't want to make an IPA with them, right? I want to make them do something weird with me. And you can't be like, okay, so how about we go into your brewery? How about we backcycle everything and we actually, you know, hold sour in your kettle for 5 days and then move over? And they're like, are you out of your fucking mind, dude? Like, you need to have your own tank. So when you're small and overproducing, it's hard to work that out. Whereas if you could be like, yeah, let's go make a beer. I would love
to
do
that. It's a lot easier.
Good for you, man. So what beer did you make with Cigar City?
The first year we make an Imperial Porter.
Was this with Wayne?
No, yes. Well, Wang is a big guy, so he doesn't brew anymore. You know, he's just overseeing everyone. So, But we brew with Josh Bringle.
Okay. All right.
He is now in Mexico. He's getting married and moved to Mexico.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Oh, wow. That's cool. Wayne's a good overseer. Wayne's one of the best brewers I know.
Yes,
like he's an encyclopedia. There's nothing like when you get an hour with Wayne and you're like, I just literally just ask him every question I've had in the brew house since the last time I had him. I'm like, all right, what do I do when this happens? 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 And then I just leave a better brewer for his work.
Yeah, and Wang is so knowledgeable.
Yeah, he's very cool.
And very thoughtful.
Yeah.
So how many times have you worked with Cigar City? Obviously more than once because you said the first time.
Yes. So the first time we had the Imperial Port and then the next two we had a Stout. So,
okay. Yeah. They do those well. I understand.
So the first one we did was Good Morning Mekong and then
Good Night Mekong
and then Good Nightmare Mekong.
So is it a coffee one and then like a roofie one?
It's
something?
All coffee. It's all coffee.
Oh, yeah.
And then this year they're just too busy, so they couldn't put us on schedule.
I get
so,
it.
Yeah.
But the answer did collabs with, I think, Wakefield.
Yes.
Everyone's done a fucking collab.
Wakefield's
except
a whore.
For you.
Wakefield and other half are whores.
They are.
We did.
Believe it or not, we're talking about, what I was just complaining about is Wakefield and I have done a collaboration.
Oh, you
did? In as much as the recipe's written, the concept is finished, neither one of us has gotten to the other's brewery. Right?
Oh.
Like it's all done. Wakefield and I have a fully finished two beers we will do, one at his place, one at mine.
Okay.
Getting together is damn near impossible.
Because
today he and I are going to go out. We're going to drink a whole bunch of Hanapu. We'll probably brew two more beers in our head, write them down, plan them out, and then not see each other again until next year. But that's the torture. You were saying, so Wake, other half, who else have you worked with? Cigar City?
Well, this week we brew one at Angry Chair.
Okay, those guys are great. We were drinking their lager last night. They're very cool. What'd you brew with them?
Well, I have to talk to Brendan and see what he
brews. That's fair enough.
I just talked to Eric from Psycho. We did brew a double IPA.
Okay, very cool.
On Thursday, yeah. So.
Very cool. That's fun and awesome.
Mostly private and IPA. So.
Do you know all these guys walking by? I keep seeing you look out. Are they all brewers you've worked with?
Well, so, you know, I know a few people. So.
For the thieves at home that haven't made it to Hanapu, so Tampa's the craziest city in the world. This weekend, there's a Grand Prix auto race. There's a marathon.
Yes.
There's like two or three other like.
I think there's a cheerleading competition going
cheerleading
on.
Cheerleading competition
at my hotel, yeah.
And so we might have to go to that one.
Sport of the future, sport of the future. That and timber skills, yeah. But that.
And then Hunapu, of course.
And then Hunapu, and it's just there's so much going on. But so you're in these kind of convention hotels, but you're in a city. It's not like you're outside the city, and there's just people walking by all day, and all
everywhere,
these different
yes.
brewery T-shirts, and it's a very cool, fun event. Make your
it
make
is
your
a lot
way
of
down
fun.
Here
yes.
for sure.
I think we're getting kicked out of this room.
Oh
in
yeah,
a few
and
minutes,
and to
yeah,
be fair, so. We need to go to the party. Yeah. So do you have a letter to read? Read,
no, we don't have letter. A letter right now.
We're out of letters.
That's right.
We're ahead of it.
We are.
All right. Well, then I will say to all the thieves, sorry this one's short. Sorry to cut short on you, but we really appreciate you being here on.
Well,
and thank you for the beers. They were very cool.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
Guys, you got to switch to another podcast now because we're ending early, but we got to go drink beers. That's our job.
Same here. I'm
That's
thirsty.
Our job. Yeah, let's go do that. Thanks yes. for listening. And send us emails so that we don't run out of emails
right.
at stealthisbeerpodcast@gmail.com.
That's right.
And,
yeah, or on Facebook
or on Facebook.
Any of the other things.
So get at us.
Thanks.
Yep. Until next time, beer's the answer.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.